G'day and welcome back to the Shed of Basketball Truth. It is Studio 3 for Ball Don't Lie Australia. Brought to you, of course, by, Dr. Electrician, servicing Brisbane and, of course, North Adelaide areas. And, of course, local card shop of Woolloongabba. And this week, going to get straight into it. He's back. He's been away for a little bit. He's been doing this, that, and everything in the basketball world. But head coach of the NBL 1 Northside Wizards team, Jamie Petty. Mate, welcome back.
Thanks, mate. Pretty happy to get the second call up. So must have done better than I thought in the first iteration.
Oh, mate, absolutely nailed it. Don't know what you're talking about. All right, look, lots going on in the basketball world, especially in the NBL space. Let's get into it. Came out in the last 24 hours that the NBL 1 is basically done a deal with the B-League over in Japan. There's a little bit of behind the scenes stuff to it, but effectively it's going to pair the NBL with the B League a little bit of preseason stuff, bit of stuff for juniors and development. And look, we were talking a little bit beforehand, and seems like a positive deal for me.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see it. For those who aren't as familiar with it, the B League's a really high standard, a lot of money. We've seen a lot of Australians go over there in the playing space and the coaching space as well. So I'm pretty excited to see what this partnership brings as we learn a few more details about the nitty gritty, but it looks like there's going to be Japanese teams over here in preseason, NBL teams in Japan. So it's going to be really exciting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Speaking of the NBL, look, this is one of the tightest ladders I think we've seen in a long time. It's one or two wins from fourth to dead last at the moment. Obviously, there are a couple of extra losses in there for Phoenix, even with their, you know, the game that's been sort of hailed as something rather special is their, you know, wait, what? They won that game? Golly. But look, one of the real surprises for me is that Adelaide Resurgence. Sorry, let's try that again. The NBL team, of course, the Adelaide 36ers, and their resurgence throughout the year. What have you noticed? Is it just, Mitch McCarron giving them a blast, or is it like any good nightclub? They just needed a good DJ.
Well, I'm sure Mitch McCarron has his fingerprints all over this resurgence in one way, shape or another. It was kind of funny when that Twitter thing came up and there was the blow up at practice. I think potentially it was blown a little bit out of proportion. I think people probably don't appreciate senior men's programs, NBL, NBL 1, that's a pretty regular occurrence. And
every other session, right?
Yeah, more or less. He's a very vocal leader. He holds guys to account, and that's exactly what you want out of your leaders. So I can tell you, being a part of that program when we had, you know, a down year a couple of years ago, Macca was that kind of leader the whole way through. So win, lose, or draw, if things are going well or poorly, he's going to be leading his team the best way he knows how. So he probably has had a contribution, whether it was that spray or not, I don't know. But I think a couple of things I have noticed. The first one is Trey Kell's starting to look a little bit more comfortable. And we see it all the time. This is a really tough league. We get high caliber, highly touted imports come over and they can't quite get the rhythm, the physicality of the game. Don't feel comfortable straight away. And it takes them a little bit to get going. I think that's what's happened with Kell. And he's found his three ball, facilitating a little bit more. He looks really comfortable. And obviously the other one is Isaac Humphries. And I think he's had a really tough run with health and injuries over the last few years. And I think people have probably forgotten, like, this guy went to Kentucky. Like, that is big time. He was in the NBA at 21 or 22. He's only, I think, 25 now. So he's starting to get a clean bill of health and showing everyone just what he can do. And I think he should be in the contention for Boomers Talks as well. So we're showing that as well. Like you say, it's a tough league. Even the bad teams are good teams, you know. So, they're starting to put it all together.
And that's going to be a tricky spot. Obviously, we'll talk about it on the show. But, you know, that big man space for the Boomers, it's not just the big man space. It's almost every space. You've got people playing out of their absolute skin trying to put their hand up for this team, which is fantastic for the Boomers, especially after the – let's just call it the disappointment that was in their last outing after Tokyo. Our expectations were way up here. And look, let's be honest, they didn't hit that. But it's fantastic to see all these guys really stepping up and really trying to crack this, what is hopefully going to be possibly our best roster ever.
It's really impressive. And to your point, I think if you have the next 12 that don't make the Boomers team, that team would be a very, very good international basketball team. So the depth of talent right now is really tough. I wouldn't want to be picking it. I'd love to be coaching it and having all those guys at my disposal, but picking it, not so much.
Yeah, look, it's a tricky thing. And, you know, it's one of the great things about this show. I'm always able to say, yeah, Gorge has got it. You know, smarter minds than me will get after this thing. But, look, hopefully it's a team that really gels and can perform big time. Right. Let's push this magical button and have a chat about a little bit more local team. All right, the Bullets. It seems to be their media darlings every time they string two wins, and as soon as they have a loss, oh, they're not a top tier team. And my question really is, haven't they done enough turning things around? Like, from where they were last year to where they are now, that's pretty impressive progression, right?
You really would have thought so, right? Mm. They were a basket case on and off the floor last year.
Yeah.
New management, new head coach, rookie head coach, by the way. Mm. And they are competing. I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit later about that finals race, but they are right in that mix. They've won, you know, already more games than last year. They look like a team. They're competitive. And I think, again, we've touched on, this is a really, really tight league. You know, we see, you know, that Phoenix-Sydney game that you were referencing, all these crazy games. When you get two teams that are at such a high level when they play against each other, it's not always, hey, the best team is going to win by X amount of points. It's 60% of the time the better team will win. If it's a really big talent gap, 70% of the time the better team will win. So, yeah, we see the Bullets lose to a really tough team, and all of a sudden it's doom and gloom. But for mine, Justin has to be surely in coach of the year talks the way this team's improved.
Well, that's it. It's that level of improvement, and that's always been the thing. You know, you've got the Vickerman and John Reilly also, you know, those major ones, because Vickerman's almost in those conversations every year because of the program and da-da-da-da. But, yeah, it's the turnaround has to be thought about and really looked at. And if he's not in those conversations, it's got to be right up there. He's got to be in that, at the very least, that second tier.
100%. I like that you mentioned JR too. And I think, you know, we've seen, I think there's two programs in Adelaide and in Illawarra who there's a lot of fanfare right now about they changed their coach. They've gone from, you know, bottom to competing and made these big turnarounds. But equally, we see two programs in New Zealand and Perth. Both started really poorly. I think New Zealand were 2-7. I think Perth were pretty similar. Mm-hmm. The organizations backed their coaches, stuck with them, gave them a little bit more time and allowed some of that, you know, randomness as we're speaking about, where it's not always, you know, 100-0. It's 60-40, the better team wins. They allowed that to play out and they're getting the reward for it. So JR's got to be up there. As you mentioned, Bickerman's done a hell of a job, but for me, my votes were sure, for sure. They've been unreal.
All righty. Well, look, for mine, they've been great. There's obviously lots of different changes that have happened, but the progression looks good. And bringing in Casey Prather, I like that for next year. Obviously, he's still on minutes restrictions and different things, but I like that they're already looking towards building with this unit, which is nice. Right. Let's put our, you know, magic, look into our crystal balls, put in our magic hats and try and just make some stuff up.
I can do that pretty well.
Top six predictions. Now, there are obviously two teams already locked in. We've got United and Perth already locked in there. Realistically, somewhere, but the way things sitting, they're going to have to really lose every game for them to really drop back to the pack. And even then, it's going to take something special from other teams. So I think we can probably both agree there's slot A, 1A and slot 1-2, pretty much a lock. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I think, Melbourne got off to that really hot start. You know, they're too far ahead. And, yeah, I think Perth will probably, they'll end up in that second spot. I reckon lock that in.
All right. We're on the same page. Now let's this is normally where things take a turn. All right, I'll take number three, and I'm gonna put Tasmania. I'm gonna put Tasmania for a couple of reasons, and it doesn't completely have to do with current form. It's almost like a heritage pick, if you will. Last couple of seasons, they've found a way to win late. They haven't done that this season, but I just think they're going to find enough to stay in that sort of three spot. There's a lot of faith in that. It's not necessarily what I'm seeing right now, but yeah, I just had to put one faith pick in there, and that was the one I went with.
Yeah, I think so. And we see them, I think it's two games now clear of that kind of logjam of Sydney, Illawarra and New Zealand and all that. So yeah, I think they're looking the goods. I like your point, like Scott Roth has them primed for finals pretty regularly. He's shown that now over 3 years, like they'll be ready to go. And I like their schedule coming home too.
All right. Who have you got Tassie in the three, or are you going to swerve?
No, I got Tassie three. I'm right there with you.
Okay. All right. So far, so good. Okay. Surely this is where things take a turn. All right, I'll let you take this one. Who you got in four spot?
So this might be where we take a turn. I've got Sydney.
Okay.
So I obviously they're on a slide at the moment. Yes. I kind of, now I did this at 6 a.m. on a flight this morning, so forgive me if I haven't got the math right, but I kind of went through all the games and tips who I think would get each one, and I think I see Sydney kind of ending 14-14, which, as crazy as it sounds in a 10-team league, 500 is probably going to be enough to get you fourth, the way it's all shaped out and team sharing wins and losses. Again, I like their road coming home. Big win today against Melbourne. Really impressive. Yes. When the pressure was on too. So I think they're now essentially playing finals basketball right now with some of the internal pressure that they'd have on them.
Yes. Yes. I've gone a different way. They're my ones. I'll let you know where I've put them when we get there. But, I've gone with Tasmania with a bit of faith, and these ones I've kind of gone a little bit the other way. So we'll – but I'm always allowed to get one completely wrong. That's fine. I've got Hawks. I just get the feeling, especially with their win today over the Breakers, I get the feeling they're just going to scrap their way through this and – just do enough. They've got a bit of a vibe there. They've just got that scrappiness. They've got the fans behind them who've been stuck in the doldrums of, you know, some. The fans have actually been lucky with, not necessarily with the injuries and the team and everything, but last year, the Hawks were in almost every game. Like, they lost practically all of them, but they were close. They were really in there and fighting. Which, you know, it's enough to give you hope, you know. But, yeah, I've just got a feeling that Hawks are going to, with the logjam that's going on, they're just going to find the way. They got over the Breakers today, which definitely helps in a huge way. But, yeah, I've got them at four, and I don't expect everyone to follow me in on that. And, hey, gamble responsibly if that's your thing. Do not put your money here. Other top fours are available out there if you got one. Fifth, look, I'll jump in on this one. I can see Bullets slipping to that fifth, but I've still got them in the play-in space.
Yep, I like it. Now, something I don't know, because it's just too difficult with the league this tight, is the head-to-head implications and the tiebreaker implications. So not to jump ahead too much, but I've actually got three teams potentially ending 13-15 if it shakes out the way it is. I've got the Hawks there in spot number five.
Yep.
All the reasons you said, you know, they just have such a depth of talent. You know, they've got guys that can come off the bench to do different roles. Obviously, Harvey statistically has had a little bit of a down year, but on his night, he is capable of scoring ungodly numbers, crazy amounts of points, and also hitting big shots when it really matters. We saw they had that game. It was against Tassie a couple of weeks ago now. It was the double overtime. Yep. You know, he gets fouled on that half-court shot, hits all three foul shots. Like, they just seem to be that team, almost like what Tassie were last year, where if it's close and they're in an arm wrestle, like today against New Zealand, they're probably going to get it done. So
yeah, even in the against the Adelaide against the Adelaide 36ers last round. They were there at the end. You know, it was tight-ish. They came back. So, yeah, look, hard to say. That's a horrible pick.
Yep.
All right. Number six. Who wants to go first? Do you want this one?
Well, I'll go first because we basically just flipped. Flipped it to around. I got Brisbane making the finals there. So, again, you know, their turnaround has been nothing short of amazing. They've won with guys out. I think one of the biggest wins they had was that game with Sobey out, you know, at home. They come out and they beat a really good team. Like, I think, they're playing with a lot of self-belief. Prather in is like a huge addition. Guy who's been there before, been a part of really successful Melbourne United teams, obviously at levels beyond that as well, but understands the league really well. They're humming. So I like them.
All right. I am Denard on this one. And in the end, I did the most scientific thing I could and I flipped a coin. Breakers and Kings. Yeah. And then the Breakers go and lose to the Hawks today. But look, I'm going to turn my back on the coin. Because Breakers came up on the coin toss, but you know, Kings showed today what level of talent they truly have. Now, if the Breakers do make the top six, I will in no way be sad. But yeah, Kings, they've got that depth, they've got that talent, and on their night, it is rolling. The problem is they've shown in the last stretch of four or five rounds, they'll have a good win and then disappear. They're not as consistent as they have been. Like last year, they always talked about it, that they had the dog in them and all that kind of stuff and da 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 da. But they showed that down the stretch of games. Look, I'm gonna put a line through the Breakers last second, put the Kings in there, and then drop Breakers down to seven.
Yeah, the coin flips some pretty serious science, but I think the win against Melbourne for Sydney today and the loss to Illawarra. The Breakers today probably outweighs that. So good choice. But like you say, New Zealand they're there or thereabouts. They seem to be kind of the inverse of Illawarra. Like these close games down the stretch, they just haven't really found a way to take care of them. So,
well, you know, from everything from a live ball timeout to just coming up short and just, but it's, you know, it is also a thing when you look at this league. And we're talking about Breakers and Kings, grand finalists last year, and now I'm toing and froing on who's going to make the sixth spot this year. So, look, say what you will about the parity of the league and da-da-da-da-da, but, you know, it's absolutely amazing for the fans because, as we say, on any night, never know what you're going to any given Sunday.
Yeah, I can't remember it being this close from top to bottom. We've had a lot of really tight races for the final spots, but there's always been, you know, last year Illawarra were kind of quite a bit off the pace. You know, previous years we had teams quite a bit off the pace. Southeast Melbourne are last on the ladder right now. They're 10 and 15, I believe, or something around there. Yeah.
It's losses, not wins, that have them back
there. So, yeah, literally any team can beat any team.
Which, as a fan, booyah. Love absolutely. That. Love that. There's no scrubs at the moment, which is rare, as you say, because there's been some horrible teams. Well, certainly horrible teams, but teams with horrible records that just through injury or whatnot just couldn't get it done. All right, that pretty much wraps us up for NBL. Let's have a little bit of a quick NBA chat. Now, obviously, you know, you're a Knicks fan. You're sitting in front of the amazing Phil Jackson jersey at the moment. Will they continue their run? They're currently fifth in the East, or will they continue their run of disappointing playoffs? Or, you know, are they going to go back to the conference finals and disappoint there?
Yeah, they'll disappoint somewhere, that's for sure. As a Knicks fan, I'm bracing myself for an early disappointment. You know, it's going to be really interesting. And obviously, you know, they're on this impressive run at the moment. I think a lot of his hype has come around an absolute drubbing of championship favorites and defending champions Denver. I think the really unique thing that I love about this team and why all the New York fans are getting behind this team is they compete night in, night out, 48 minutes, every possession. you know, you mentioned that teams with that dog in them, like these guys have it. And you watch an NBL game and it's 40 minutes and, you know, there's 28 games in a regular season. When you take it to the NBA and they're 48 minute games, there's 80, or slightly less now, but however many games there is, it's the games lose a little bit of meaning. And teams are on back-to-back road trips, East Coast, West Coast trips, and they just don't compete every game. You know, they kind of pick and choose when they want to go. Players being load managed. None of that with the Knicks. They're just going for it. And you see, like, their leader on the floor, I guess, in Julius Randle, embodies that. And it's a really cool thing, actually, to see with Thibs as the coach. Like, he's got a team.
Old man Thibodeau.
Yeah. He's got a team that just embodies his DNA and his beliefs about the game. So, it's exciting. I worry about the ball in Randall's hands offensively. I worry about their production. Their defense is outrageous right now from an efficiency standpoint, which is really good. But when we get to playoffs, other teams start to ramp up that defense. I'm a little bit, concerned about what will be left, but it's fun to watch right now for sure.
Yeah, as a Celtics fan, I'm not worried about when they're going to drop the ball as long as they don't do something weird and wonderful and knock us out of the playoffs or something like that. But where they're currently sitting, Knicks are currently playing too well to come against the Celtics at the moment. But of course, All-Star break and everything to come. But they've flown out of the gate. They're doing a good job.
Be poetic justice one way or the other for Porzingis and the Celtics. See what happens there.
Well, the man that was booed by the Knicks faithful when he was drafted, and then he was the unicorn, then he was the second coming, and then then he was just bounced.
They're not pickle New York fans.
No, not at all. Completely. But Spike's good. I like Spike.
Yes.
Yeah, he's good. All right. Now, it's almost that All-Star game time, which it's that difficult time of year because it just – the old grey mare just ain't what she used to be, and – they bring in the Elam endings and stuff like this. It just doesn't capture the spark of old-fashioned All-Star games. So my question for you is, across the All-Star weekends of the past, is there any moments that really stand out for you?
Yeah, and I share your sentiment, and this is how I know I'm getting old now, is that when I talk about that, the kids just look at me like, you idiot, mate. I'd want to watch all these guys score 50 points each. No, I'm a 1993 baby. So I came up kind of following early 2000s, which for me was probably the peak of the All-Star weekend stuff. The Vince Carter honey dip, in the dunk contest, that has to be right up there, right? Like the dunk contest was really cool.
Stole my number one.
Yeah. And then the other one, I'm a really big Allen Iverson fan. He was my favorite player growing up. And I want to say it was about 2002, 2003. He had that stretch where he scored 15 points in the fourth quarter, going at it with Kobe. You know, the East beat the West. I think it was by 1 point in that game. But it used to mean something. These guys, like, going at it really hard. You'd get home from school and one HD had just come out and you'd set the HDR to record it and you'd go back and you'd watch it.
Look at you living the dream. I had to wait till got the DVD years ago for some of this stuff and years afterwards and rewatch the highlights and different things. Or when we go on the road with basketball trips, Port Macquarie was a great one because they would always have a screen near the door and they'd have some sort of DVD of highlights from All-Star weekends and different game. And it was Jordan on repeat and different things like that. But it was, the honey dip dunk in 2000 for me was great. And, of course, I wasn't there, but I love the old-fashioned stories of, like, Larry Bird and the three-point contest and different things like that where he just did it in the warm-up after talk. Just kept his warm-up shirt on after talking smack the entire time. Things like that I really like. I enjoyed the Curry and Clay contests of not that – old, but the game itself is just lost. It's lost our defense. It's that simple.
I think regular season NBA games is probably like a 60% effort on defense. And then when you get to an All-Star game, you tone it back to, 20. Let's be really generous.
I was going to go with 10. Same sort of vibe.
And it's just not the same, right? You want to see, T-Mac slapping the floor, getting ready to play defense. You want to see these guys like actually going at it. That's kind of why they're there. And you get it from their perspective. They're multi-million dollar athletes load management. They're not trying to hurt themselves. You know, they're trying to get guys involved. Some of them have KPIs around making all-star teams, and that's just it. And they get bonuses in their contracts. But certainly was a spectacle that we probably lost a little bit of.
Yeah, and even the dunk contest, like players like Zion didn't want to borrow it.
Yeah.
You know, because it was only going to hurt his brand and stuff like that. And it's like, what?
It's crazy. Orlando Dwight went through that stretch where, he was probably lauded as a bit higher than what he really was. But that year, it was around the time Orlando made the finals, and that did wonders for his brand. The Superman, the blowing the cupcake thing, it was really cheesy. I hated it. I couldn't stand it. But for his brand, it did it really good.
Well, yeah, I didn't like the fact that he just straight up, stole Shaq's Superman thing? But, you know, and the absolute cringe of him interviewing himself.
Yep.
Wow, that was bad.
It is still the NBA. These are two NBA players. It's going to be a little bit of cringe.
It is, but I have to agree. And he's just over there, little Nate Robinson and him, and that little backwards and forth they had. It was fantastic, because it was – you know, as a younger guy at the time, it was fantastic. It was great. That cringe didn't matter. It was all about the show, and they put on a good show.
Yeah.
But let's bring it back home a little bit. And if I think we can both agree, realistically, money has kind of sullied the All-Star game because there's too much to risk. It's generational wealth that they're tossing up here, which is why they're not playing defense or why they're not getting after it. NBL players, they're not on that same money. So NBL All-Star game, do you think it would be just an absolute raucous spectacle, or do you think it would be too physical?
It would be interesting. I remember when we used to have it. There was one in Adelaide, actually, when I was 13 or 14, that I didn't get to go to, but I really wanted to. And I remember watching it on TV thinking it was really cool. I think you run into the same issue, though. So if you're an NBL player in the All-Star game, you're not on $30 million US dollars a year, but you are in contention for the Boomers if you're an Australian. If you're an American, you're looking at your next paycheck somewhere else, and you're not really concerned about, what the Aussies, the crowd thinks of you in this performance in the All-Star game. That's not going to get you your next job. And the same thing with the next stars. They're not there yet, but they're about to be on generational wealth. So, yeah, I'd like to think just the Australian style of play and the fight we have in us, that it would be a little bit better. But, I can't see guys going all out in a game that essentially doesn't mean much.
Yeah, it's tough because you look at, like the State of Origin in the NRL, and they go all out, and it's crazy, and it's effectively a spectacle, series of games in the middle of the season. But, if we could get that level of heart and ticker for it, oh my God, it would be absolutely amazing. But, unfortunately, I think you're probably on the right track. And we're not going to see that same level of defense, which sucks because I love me some defense.
Amen.
Love the defense. Would you travel for it though? So if it was, obviously here in Brisbane at the moment, it was in the Armoury at the Convention Centre or wherever. Would you go there and watch it in Brizzy?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Would you travel to, say, Sydney or Melbourne, though?
Oh, I love Melbourne. If it was to Melbourne, I probably would. Pack some jackets and get down there. I don't know. Probably not. And that's probably reflective of how the players' attitudes would be, the general fans' attitudes would be, I think. State of Origin in the rugby league catches something really, really pure and historic, and there's such a great history. I'm an honorary and new Queenslander, moving up from South Australia, but I've managed to make friends with Tani Norris, who's the women's State of Origin coach, and it's funny, we're in this coach development group. She made this presentation, which she said was just for me because I didn't understand Origin and struggle with it. Kind of like a senior national championship basketball weekend. That would be really cool. But yeah, I don't think too many people would travel for an All-Star game.
Yeah. And if they're not going to travel, then that's kind of the problem. All right. Time for some local card shop of Woolloongabba Crack'em. Let's get to it.
That ball don't lie.
Never does.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, time to get into some local card shop of Woolloongabba Crack'em. I have a pack of Topps Chrome 2022-2023 cards here. We're going to crack them open, get stuck in. You ready for this, mate? Last time you nailed it, 50%.
Yeah, it was a bit of a fluke, I feel, so we'll see how we go.
Look, you know, we're in your wheelhouse, though, of the NBL space. So, look, we'll see how we do. All right. Ooh. Hello. Okay. Ooh. This might be interesting. So I've opened a four pack. By the look of it, there's only two cards.
Oh, okay. So do I get the other two? I got them right.
We'll see how we go. But look, this might be a relic card, might be an auto, might be something special here. So right. We'll see how we go. All right, first card. All right. The second ever Sudanese Australian to play in the top US Pro League, which is the NBA, of course. Somebody played for Charlotte after a university career at Louisville under Rick Pitino.
Mango Mathiong.
Well done, you. All right, one from one. Oh, all right. Okay, well, this is... quite the rookie card I've got here. There's actually no real like inscriptions like there would be on the back. Instead, it just says you have received a Topps Chrome Authentics Relic card, which means a sliver of their jersey is inlaid into the card. But I can give some clues to this player.
Right.
Adelaide 36ers player. I'll give you, he's the second of his name. I believe he went over with the 36ers team that went to the States and had those couple of NBA games against Phoenix and they beat Phoenix and they played a couple of other teams over there. He was then, they mutually parted ways very early into, I believe it was last season.
Import or Aussie?
Import. Had quite a range when he was on fire. There's a couple of highlights there when he's firing them from the Kmart logo. Got nothing?
The shooter thing makes me think Dusty Hanners, but that's not
Dusty.
Those teams.
Craig was his first name.
Oh, I'm drawing a massive blank.
Craig Randall the second.
That's right. Yep. Yes. Yep.
Yep. With a nice little inlaid part of the jersey there, which is we might even get that one graded up. And look, there might be a couple of diehard 36ers fans who like imports who don't work out.
I think that's a short list.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Look, might be. All right. Well, look. Let's crack another pack since we're here. Let's get another crack. Pack and crack them. Oh, okay. Jeez, 36ers cards here tonight. 36ers cards. Okay. Somebody started all 30 games for the Illawarra Hawks in his first NBL season and was voted as the league's best defensive player, in addition to being named to the All-Star first team. His 58 steals were the most by any player in the NBL last season. The small forward hails from Memphis, Tennessee, and played 30 games in the top US Pro League for Atlanta and Dallas. It's Adelaide 36ers jersey. He's no longer there, though.
So he played for Illawarra?
Played for Illawarra and then for the 36ers.
I'm thinking Demetrius Conger, but it's not him, is it?
No. He's, I think, Cavaliers for his last name. Cavaliers.
No, I'm going to have to pass this one. No good with the imports, mate.
Antonius Cleveland. Yeah. All righty. Next one. Oh, interesting. Next one is apparently a rookie card, but I would question that slightly. All right. One of the Breakers' first signings in the preseason was the prize signature of number 42 after four seasons at St. Mary's University. where he completed a Bachelor of Business Administration degree. Somebody attended Rangitoto College on Auckland's North Shore and was a former floor wiper for the NZ Breakers before signing as a DP player. And if it makes you feel better, I have a feeling he's still at the Breakers, and I think he's averaging like 2 points and two rebounds. Like it's a tricky one to say the least.
Yeah, St. Mary's. A Kiwi at St. Mary's.
Yeah, number 42.
I'm going to have to pass on this one as well.
Daniel Fotua. Yes. All righty. Rookie card. This one for the Phoenix. Let's have a look here. All right. Somebody begins his first professional season after five seasons playing in the Pac-12 for the Golden Bears at the University of California, Berkeley. He was a junior at the Bankstown Bruins before captaining his Newington College team in Sydney and also represented and captained New South Wales in junior national championships at under 18 and under 20 level. In the power forward position, number 11. Southeast Melbourne Phoenix.
I'm drawing a blank here too. I'm going to be really annoyed when you say the name.
Southeast. Quite possibly. Quite possibly.
From Sydney.
Yeah. Yep.
No, Bolden's not.
No. He's not Bolden.
No, I'm getting my wires crossed. Up. No, tell me who have I got.
Grant. Grant and Tasevic.
Yep. I was thinking the wrong time frame.
Wrong time frame. Yep. Gets them every time.
Yep.
All right. I'm sure you'll get this one. I am sure you'll get this one. I'll throw so many clues. That
a lot of pressure on this, mate. We should have cut it after my mango pick.
All right. Somebody dished off more assists than any other player in 2022 and averaged an incredible 7.3 dimes in the grand final series. He started all 34 games in the Jack Jumpers' first season after time spent in the top USO Pro League at Atlanta and Orlando. The veteran guard has played in many top leagues around the world since leaving his hometown of Birmingham, Alabama, a decade ago. He is no longer in the league. Huge piece for the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers in their first two seasons.
Is that Majette?
It is Josh. Right. Let's get the Jets going, the Jet.
All right.
All right. All right. That is it. That is our last card. I'll push that over into the win column there for you. Couple in there, mate. Couple of that mango one was very good.
Yeah.
That mango one.
As soon as you said Louisville.
Yeah. And look, the others were tricky. And look, the Craig Randall, the second one, that one's on me. Like, I could have given better clues there. Like, that one's on me. So if we scrub that one, that puts you at almost 50% and you're keeping your average five.
Yeah, I think next time we just go Aussies, kind of under 28.
Yeah.
You know, that's my wheelhouse.
I'll bury the import cards and just say, look, that's an import.
Yeah.
Like, and we'll just move it along. All right, before you go, though, obviously Wizard season coming up. How would you rate the off season for the men's try that again. How would you rate the off season that you've had so far with signings and different things? What are we out of 10? How are you feeling?
Yeah, it's hard to grade because obviously it's a league of comparison, you know, and we see what some of these teams are putting together. Mackay look unbelievable right now. You know, Darwin, Gold Coast always going to be good, but we're pretty happy. I'd have to say probably a 7. You know, we aim pretty high. We missed out on a few guys, but we've got some announcements to come. We've got a group that we think is going to be really exciting and hungry, a bit younger, and we're pretty happy with it.
Fantastic. Well, you've obviously got the first game of the season on your home floor against the Caps, who've can't give too much away, but trying to make some moves and have done all right so far.
Yeah, I think they announced one of those big names in Gabe, and there's more to come. So, they're going to be really tough. Again, the whole league is going to be tough. Any win is going to be pretty hard to come by. So, looking forward to it. I walked into the Caps Northside rivalry round one last year with an overtime game in a million degrees heat.
So close.
So, hopefully we can get another contest similar to that with the same outcome.
Well, yeah, look, you know, Caps and Wizards bookend the season together. So hopefully the Caps can, from my point of view, hopefully the Caps can get one back, because you guys took both wins last season. So one in a tight one. And let's be generous with the other one and say it was less than tight. You guys came through with the goods rather comfortably in the end.
Good win in the end, yeah.
But both very solid wins. And, yeah, look, that first one against the Caps, that was one to look, you know, we looked back on. It was like, oh, just what if? Because it sort of, from that one, obviously, you know, then some injuries happened and then some tight games, and it was just, had it have gone the other way, possibly da-da-da-da, but that's basketball at this level. Things are so tight, and you got to really come out of the gates at full speed.
Absolutely, and going to be 17-round season, 17-game season, and only a top six making finals. Every game has a lot of weight on it. So, yeah, round one's going to be big.
Yeah, can't wait. All right, mate, thanks again for coming and joining us here. It's always great.
Thanks for having me.
Not at all. And if you are listening out there on a streaming service that does allow those 5-star reviews, please do hit us up with one of those. That stuff really does help. Huge thank you, of course, to Jamie for joining us. Excuse me. And, of course, to Dr. Electrician and local card shop of Woolloongabba for their support with our Crack'em segment. That does round us out. But until you're listening to us again, just remember that ball don't lie.